KCIM Sports presents the Pizza Ranch Saturday Morning Coaches Show with Sports Director Jeff Blankman.
Thank you very much, John, and good Saturday morning, everybody. Of course, welcome here to the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. We appreciate you joining us here today. We're going to be talking Carroll football with Craig Rowetter, Kemper football with Ryan Steinkamp, both picking up big wins last night. Dina Finneran from the Kemper girls tennis team will talk about Charlotte Schwabe finishing state down at the state girls tennis meet. Rusty Wintermoat with the Kemper volleyball team and Riley Ludwig with the Carroll volleyball team will be in to talk about their teams. Deb Danner will talk to us about Carroll girls swimming, and Thomas Nelson also joining us here this morning. I was talking about Kemper cross country, all those coming up here in the next hour or so. Let's run you through the scores from last night in high school football. We'll start Class 3A District 6. Carroll rolls by Greene County 35-0 to grab control of that district race. Harlan beats Creston 56-35, and Atlantic downs Perry 49-7. They remain undefeated in district as well. Class 2A District 2, it was Kemper knocking off Spirit Lake 41-21. They remain in control of the district, but right there with them also undefeated Okoboji. They slide by Southeast Valley 34-31 in overtime. It was OABCIG cruising by Esterville Lincoln Central 50-21. Class 1A District 2, South Central Calhoun shuts out ESAC 40-0. Manson Northwest Webster downs Emmitsburg 36-22. So now Manson Northwest Webster in first place in that district by a game over South Central and Emmitsburg. It was Pocahontas area beating South Hamilton 43-36. Class A District 8, ICAM Enning knocks off Loma 27-13. They move to third in the district. Woodbury Central downs Akron Westfield 29-6. It was Riverside over St. Albert in a non-district game 55-26. It was Westwood Monona. West Monona beating Westwood 28-20. 8-man District 9, Audubon knocked off Glidden-Ralston 84-0. Woodbine tops Coon Rapids Baird 70-6. Arweva defeated Griswold 63-12. And Exiro-Kern Kimbledon over Cam 56-52. We'll step away. We've got Craig Rowetter sitting here. He's going to join us next on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show.
Celebrate National Pork Month with Carroll County Farm Bureau and Fairway in Carroll. Stop by the meat counter and enter to win piggy prizes, bundles for breakfast, grilling, smoking, and a grand prize. Don't miss your chance to win big and support local pork producers. Carroll County Farm Bureau. Together, we can build a stronger rural Iowa.
Pizza Ranch Coaches Show rolling on here on this Saturday morning here on the CB Sports Network. We're talking Carroll Tiger football with head coach Craig Rowetter. Tigers take command of the district race last night, beating Greene County 35-0, jumping up 28-0 at the first half. Coach, did you grab control right away, or how did that first half play out?
Yeah, we were confident in what we were going to bring to the table, and so we took the ball, won the toss and took the ball, and we're able to march it right down first possession. I do have to give a little credit to Coach Case. He came through for me. We were playing a little under center, some wing T stuff, and I said that, you know, that power T might come in handy. So I sent him an email, and he responded with a couple tips for me, and that's actually how we scored our first one with Kieran Polking out of the old power T. So I figure if you have any questions on that, go to the master himself. So Coach K, a little shout out to Coach Case on that one.
Jumped up 7-0 that one. Then Kieran looks like he scored again. Or no, Chase Schabel caught a 14-yard touchdown to put you guys up 14-0 there at the end of the first quarter. So passing game really seems to be coming on.
Yeah, it does. And it's all set up by our run game.
Yep.
You know, it just, in fact, you know, Coach Schabel was mentioned to me, he's like, hey, is that, you know, this route's going to be open. I go, yeah, just watch. he had no idea what I had called. Sure as heck, Chase was sitting there wide open on his little slant route. But no, it is. It's all, you know, everybody's geared up to stop Adam. And, you know, I would be too. So
yeah,
that it's opening up the pass game, and now Cam's another game in to the season and getting more confident. And, you know, going at halftime, you're up 28-0, and I don't even know if Adam had 10 carries. You know, so it just shows how other guys are now stepping up and realizing, okay, you can take away this, but now we're going to come at you with, you know, from a different direction.
And the pass game for you guys, it's, you don't want to have to need it. It's when you guys want to use it, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So it's, you know, we have eyes up in the box too, you know, telling, hey, this, if we need it, it's here, or the certain look is there. And yeah, and that's what it, but that's, yeah, 100% right. That's we'll run the ball until we decide something's looking vulnerable, and then we'll attack.
Camden King hit Lincoln Burke then for a 45-yard. Those slants, man, if you hit them right, they can turn into big plays, and that sounds like what happened there to go up 21-0.
Yeah, especially because that's what, you know, they're in man coverage. I mean, they have to be if you're going to put eight in the box,
right,
you know, to try to stop our run game. And, again, our, you know, that early on there was a little frustration in the pass game, but now it's, you know, it's coming in due time. So I'm happy with it, and I think those guys are seeing that, and they're confident too. They ran great routes last night, and we still left a couple. There's a couple that will look at tape and be like, dang it, there was another one, you know. So it wasn't perfect, but it's definitely trending in the right direction.
How good was the defense to get that shutout?
They were, you know, they answered the bell from the first year. We challenged them right off the bat and said, hey, if we can get three and outs, you know, obviously in a row, that'd be great. But if we get three and outs, you know, we thought we'd sustain enough drives where they won't have enough possessions to catch up. And yeah, the defense, especially the defensive line, it was, you know, Ty Mulbauer and Kieran Polking on the edges, kept the quarterback contained, and Gavin Holt and Miles Pudence just kind of hammered them on the inside, and whatever might have leaked out, then you had Michael and Quentin cleaning up what was left. But a lot of that too was there was nowhere to throw it because our secondary had them pretty much locked down all night.
Up 28-0 at half. Was it one of those games where it felt like 28-0, or did it feel like you could have been up more?
I felt like we left one out there, and that was on me. I screwed up a play call in third down, a formation direction, and it got kind of misconstrued, and that was 100% on me. So we, you know, so as much as the kids have some stuff to work on, so do I. But that might have been about the only, you know, thing that didn't maybe go as planned that first half. So that was a good thing. And, you know, and the kids, though, to their credit, too, they were focused. You know, at one point a week ago, we were up 27-7 on Harlan and thought, hey, we're in good shape. And all of a sudden, you're in a one-score ball game. So, you know, we made a point at halftime to make sure that wasn't going to have a chance. And, you know, the kids came out in the second half just like we did the first half. You know, we're really locked in the whole game.
Sounds like that was kind of the message at halftime, was to come out. You did only get just a 7 in the second half. Happy with that? I mean, you get a 35-0 win, you're going to be happy, but just getting 7 in the second half?
Yeah, we did what we needed to, and then it was a chance to get the other guys in the
right
game too, and just kind of maybe see some different things. You know, we got Traven Childress in the backfield, got some carries, and just to kind of, and then by the last, we scored on our first possession of that third quarter, and then that time just, you know, I guess it's kind of nice to get home a little early, but it wasn't that far of a road trip. So you kind of like those young guys getting some,
yep.
Would have liked to get, you know, we didn't quite have a chance to get everybody in, would have liked to, but it still was a good chance, you know, for some that did get the opportunity to get some carries. And, you know, Jake Kincaid, Caden Clucky got in there and got some carries. And you always want to be a little respectful too. If, you know, once you have the running clock, it's not always great to be throwing
right.
the ball much. So, you know, there's that to go to. So, but overall it was, 35-0, but we weren't trying to run it up or anything like that.
Got Creston coming to your place this coming Friday. They lost to Harlan 56-35 last night, so sounds like maybe got the offense going a little bit. But you control your own destiny in a way. If you knock off Creston, you got Atlantic still on the schedule and Perry still on the schedule. But a chance to be that district champion, which I know you felt you could be maybe going into the year. I think you felt it was probably between you and Harlan. I still think it plays out that way, and that's why that win last week was so huge. But what do you know about the Panthers?
You know, we've been able to play in the last 2 years as a non-district opponent, so we have a little history, recent history with them. They'll motion everywhere on offense with a bunch of different sets. They like to two-platoon, so so the advantage of that is they have a lot more time on offense to, you know, come up with all sorts of stuff to throw at you. But, you know, some of their top kids are only playing one side of the ball, so that's kind of the the cost and the benefit, or the cost or the benefit to it. So they, offensively, and obviously they can put up points. They just, defensively, they've given up some points, and I think, you know, it's not, they've ran, I haven't really looked at it much, but I'm guessing they're still in that three-man front. And historically, we've done pretty decent against a three-man front with our run game.
Well, Coach, congratulations again on a great win last night. Keep rolling here in the district. Best of luck with Creston coming up. Enjoy the weekend, and look forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, we're going to head down here to the Band Day Parade. So if you're got nothing to do, go down and support the band guys, the band
there
kids.
There you go.
Band Days, and you'll probably see us down there if you make the trip. But thanks again for all the coverage, Jeff, and go Tigers.
Are we going to get a trombone in your hands today?
No, I played the snare drum through junior high.
There you go.
Then I did choir and show choir in high school.
Okay.
I was a choir guy. But.
All right. Well, grab a snare drum and jump out there to this morning.
there you go.
Head coach Craig Rowetter joining us again here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. We'll be back. We'll talk to Ryan Steinkamp with the Kemper Knights coming up next right here on the CB Sports Network and KCIM.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Jeff Blankman joined here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show on this Saturday morning with Kemper head football coach Ryan Steinkamp. The Knights pick up a nice victory at home last night against the Good Spirit Lake Ball Club, 41-21. The final of Spirit Lake scores a little bit late in that game. But, Coach, congratulations again. A really good performance, so it sounds, from your team.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Yeah, the kids played hard. It was a good team win.
What did you guys do well?
Defensively, I thought the kids did really hard. They played really hard. They were locked in on certain plays. Spirit Lake ran some trick plays at us too that were really good plays. I mean, they definitely caught us a few times too, which helped them out a lot. But when it came down to it, I thought defense played well. Offense did a good job of moving the sticks and a couple big plays too. And then special teams did a nice job as well.
Offensively, kind of a nice start. Usually you guys score fairly quickly, but sounds like you chewed up quite a bit of that first quarter on that opening possession and turned that into a 7-0 lead.
Yeah, you know, big plays are great, but it's also, you got to be able to get nitty and gritty and stay consistent. And it was just kind of a chunk drive, you know, 5 yards here, 6 yards there. Just a good drive moving the sticks too, picked a couple third downs too. You know, those important downs too. So it was great to see the kids respond well in those scenarios.
Then the defense comes out and gets a stop. I think it was a 3-0, three and out, if I remember correctly. Set you guys up in pretty good field position, and what did you guys do well on that first Spirit Lake possession defensively?
I think that, you know, that we had a game plan in place, and the kids they were in the right spot at the right time. You know, they were communicating well. And Spirit Lake does a lot of different formations, a lot of different shifts, and all they throw a lot at you too. So it was a lot to prepare for too. But the kids were communicating well and did a great job of that.
You jump up 14-0, then a 67-yard touchdown pass to Griffin Glenn. He seems to be kind of that big play guy in your guys' pass game.
You know, we have some great weapons out there too. Now that was a 3rd and 4, which we ran a quick little screen play to him, and Braxton Vanami had a great block, and then Griffin just kind of made a great move and off to the races. So. But it was set up by just, you know, great O-line play and a great throw by Brock. And, yeah, it's a good play for our kids. And we tell them all the time, you know, just take what's there, take what's there too. And then big plays will happen by you guys just being good athletes and, you know, making plays.
Anybody really shining on the offensive line for you?
I thought the whole line, as the game went on, as the game went on, they got stronger too. You know, Spirit Lake was bringing a lot of pressure.
Right.
They're playing pretty tight to us and blitzing a lot of guys. And the O-line, you know, it took them a little bit, but they got in the zone and were communicating well too and firing off. Had some really nice blocks down the stretch.
What did Spirit Lake do well to cut it to 14-7? Was it one of those trick plays, or did they actually mount a drive against your defense?
They hit us on a really good reverse, and they blocked it well too. And we had some missed tackles, and they were able to get down to inside the 20, And then, you know, they have a really shifty young quarterback, and he's a good player. And they just got, you know, 3-4 yards, and then he had a nice touchdown run towards the end.
14-7 going into the second quarter. That's where you kind of blew it open. Jared Hoffman continues to run the football well for you, and I know the guys up front open him in holes, but he runs hard. And then Brayton Alford, does this guy just step up with a big play defensively every single week?
Yeah, no, Brayton's a playmaker, too. You know, he's a great kid that works really hard, too, and loves football, too. Yeah, it's good to see him make those plays. And, yeah, a lot of times, you know, when we need a play, he answers that call.
Pick six, take us through how that one played out.
It's, you know, third and long. You know, we kind of scouted that. They've been running a lot of screen plays, too, so we were kind of sitting on that. And then the kids did a great job taking away a screen play we haven't seen yet. You know, they do a lot of different things. And he just got in that window. I made a great play on the ball, broke some tackles. It got a couple of nice blocks from the guys on the line, and then it made a great effort to get to the end zone.
How disappointing were you guys to give up points there with 15 seconds to go in the half on a 29-yard touchdown run from their quarterback?
Yeah, and that was one of those trick plays. They did a throwback to the quarterback, and, you know, it was a really great play by them. And, you know, we had a couple of guys in the area. Just did it. There's a lot of space. And they did a really good job of some of those trick plays in space, and they made some plays. And, you know, we got to take a little better pursuit angles, and just something that we got to focus on the future weeks.
Scoreless third quarter. What happened there for both teams?
You know, we talked to the kids. You know, our goal at halftime, you always say, hey, go win the second half, and good things will happen too. So, you know, scoreless. I thought defense played well. Offense moved the ball. You know, we went for a fourth down. Didn't get it, but, you know, we just have confidence in our kids, too. And, you know, even though we didn't get the fourth down, we knew it was like we played complimentary football, offense and defense. So it was kind of long drives. The clock was ticking, so it wasn't the worst-case scenario.
Jaron Hoffman, two long touchdown runs for you in the fourth quarter, completely blew it open, put you up 41-14. Same play or just him making a play on two different plays?
A little bit of both. You know, both of them were run plays, but the O-line, I mean, the O-line got him the first 5 yards for sure, but then I was really proud of our receivers. You know, they catch a lot of passes and do that, but they're not afraid to get dirty in the blocking and stuff like that too. And there's some great blocks on the outside too. And a couple of plays is the kids communicating with the coaches, like, hey, I think we can get him here. And it's just great, you know, great communication between players and coaches, and it was just getting them that confidence. Yeah, it was a great overall, all 11 guys, you know, blocking and doing their job. And then Jaron just finished it off. It was awesome.
They tack one on late after the game had really been decided, and you guys had some younger guys into the game. So you win it 41-21. You stay undefeated overall and, of course, undefeated in the district. Okoboji barely squeezes by Southeast Valley in overtime last night. And I know that game doesn't impact you right now, but they stay undefeated in the district along with you guys, and you see them coming up here in 2 weeks. So anything in the district really catching you by surprise at this point of the season?
No, there's a lot of good teams, you know, and like I said, that's why we are the way we are. You know, we talk to ourselves, hey, every district game is important. We're at 0-0. We've got to focus on what's in front of us, too, and that's ELC next week.
What do you know about ELC right now?
You know, they're a team that plays really hard. They have some really good players. I've seen them from film for other games, and they will run the ball in tight formations, and they'll spread it out, too, so it's going to be a lot to prepare for. It's going to be a great opportunity for our kids.
Coach, tell you what, looking forward to that long drive. I finally get to see you guys this year. It feels like it's been all season because it has been, and I finally get to see you in week 7. So looking forward to making that drive up to Estherville Lincoln next week and getting a chance to catch up with you before the game.
Awesome, Jeff. Absolutely, Jeff. Looking forward to seeing you.
You bet. Head coach Ryan Steinkamp again with the Kemper football team. We're back with more of the Peach Ranch Coaches Show here on the CB Sports Network.
Hey, moms and dads out there, let Pizza Ranch make feeding your family fun and affordable. Every Tuesday night, kids 12 and under eat free. Whether they love the pizza, chicken, or mac and cheese, you'll make them all happy. When you're on the go with sports, church, or, well, just life, come in for a quick and delicious buffet. The best part is, they'll do the dishes. Pizza Ranch makes family meals fun and fast. For delivery or carryout, call 792-3456. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Whoa, that's good.
Let's talk some about Kemper girls at tennis, more specifically about Charlotte Schwabe and her run down at the state tournament here on the Peach Ranch. Coaches Show is joining us right now. Is it Dina Finner and, of course, the head tennis coach for the Kemper girls? Coach, congratulations on a great season this year and a great run for Charlotte down at the state tournament.
All right, thank you. Yeah, she got fifth place. She did awesome.
Yeah, she went 4-1 overall down there, got to the quarterfinals before losing, and then went perfect through the consolation brackets, I think maybe dropping just one set, if I can remember correctly, on the backside, maybe not even a set on the backside. I think both of her, all of her losses came on the front side of things. So, Coach, she had to have been pretty excited. What stood out for you and her about her play?
You know, she played really well. She put up a good fight against Gabby, against the person that she played against was Shenandoah. She lost against her with the Hawkeye 10, and she put up a good fight against her again down there, but she just came short, and that put her in the consolation. But on the second day, she came through and fought hard and ended up in that fifth place.
How much she dropped that first set against Pujita Mukadam of Fairfield, but then rallied back to win 6-2, 6-2 in her opening round. Did that impact her? Maybe not in the first set against Gabby Gabby Jacobs from Shenandoah, where she lost 7-5, but in that second set where she lost 6-1. It was a really long opening round match, that break in between, kind of short. Did she wear down? I know she's in great shape, but did she wear down a little bit in that one?
Yeah, that first match that she played against the Fairfield girl, you know, that was like a 2-hour match. So she fought really hard on that first one. And as I said, it was a long one. So I know that took a lot out of her. But she still went in strong against Gabby.
What did she do well, especially in that first set against Gabby?
Her serves were really strong, and you know, she just has a really strong, hit against her and a really strong forehand. But Gabby's just really good at placing that ball.
And those two, this was what, at least the second time, I think the third time they had met this year, correct?
Yeah, I think it's just the second time they've met.
Okay, I couldn't remember if they met at the conference tournament or not. So did Charlotte try to do anything different against Gabby this time?
No, I think they just had their regular play. You know, they play well together. They're very evenly matched. Just Gabby's just really good at placing that ball. She's really good at making the ball move back and forth and then coming up short, just making Charlotte move. And, you know, it just kind of wears her out. And Charlotte came in already tired after having that long, long match against the Fairfield girl.
Coach, you got a break then after the third match of the day on Wednesday, which was probably late in the day. You swept by Megan Lawson of Estherville Lincoln Central, 6-love, 6-love. I'm sure Charlotte pretty focused on that one. How nice was that to go out and kind of get a dominant win to get maybe your first kind of easy match of the day?
Yeah, that was really nice. Going in, you know, she played the girl from North Polk. That's who she lost to get to be the runner up coming into state. So, going against her and then being able to, come out on top and beating her at 6-1, 6-0. That was a good win.
Yeah. And that was, what started your Thursday morning. What did you guys do Wednesday night into Thursday morning to kind of refuel, you know, Charlotte a little bit after three matches on Wednesday?
You know, she kind of wanted to celebrate, and we went to Texas Roadhouse.
Great place to eat, right?
Yes, they have awesome steaks.
Coach, that fifth place match, what a thriller. Wins two tiebreakers, 7-6 in both of them, 7-4 in the first set and 7-3 in the tiebreaker set, to be able to bring home a 2-0 victory and finish in fifth place. How wild was that match against Caitlin Bjork of Decorah?
Yeah, that was really close. They're two great competitors. They played very well together. They both have really tough swings, and Charlotte was just able to come up on top and come out on that, you know, just was able to pull it out on the end.
Coach, overall for the season, Charlotte finishes fifth, but how did you feel like the team did overall, and what stood out for you about this fall season?
You know, overall with the team, I think we came out really good. Our record was really nice. We had an overall win record over our loss. I think we ended up with an 8 wins, 5 losses. So, in the end, we had a really good season.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, do you like playing in the fall? Did you get adjusted to the girls get adjusted, do you think, to the fall season?
I think so. You know, the weather was really nice. We didn't have to deal with a lot of the cold weather that you have in the spring. You know, it was kind of warm, but as the fall fell in, you know, it cooled off a little bit, so it was really nice.
Well, I tell you what, we appreciate all the time, all fall long. Congratulations to you and all of the girls on a tremendous season, and we look forward to, again, chatting with you next fall when the season starts up again.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Head Coach Dina Finner, and again with the Kemper Girls Tennis Team. We're back with more here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM and the CB Sports Network.
Hey, moms and dads out there, let Pizza Ranch make feeding your family fun and affordable. Every Tuesday night, kids 12 and under eat free. Whether they love the pizza, chicken, or mac and cheese, you'll make them all happy. When you're on the go with sports, church, or, well, just life, come in for a quick and delicious buffet. The best part is, they'll do the dishes. Pizza Ranch makes family meals fun and fast. For delivery or carryout, call 792-3456. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Whoa, that's good.
We're back here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show talking a little Kemper volleyball with head coach Rusty Wintermote as the Knights pick up a nice win down at Glenwood earlier this week to move to 25-2 on the year. Coach, appreciate you joining us. A nice sweep on the road with that long road trip on Tuesday night.
Well, it is. But, hey, first of all, great morning, good morning, and thanks for allowing me to visit with you today, Mr. Blankman. But, yes, long trip. But anytime you can come away with a win against an improving Hawkeye 10 team, a team that went down to state last year and returned some nice pieces, but they are definitely have inserted some younger kids, and I like the way that they're playing towards the end of the season, so I think they're going to cause some problems. But you could tell we hadn't played for a week, but we were able to survive the first two sets and then take control in the third set.
Coach, and you hit the ball pretty well. I know 219, but three girls in double digits with Colby Peter and Addie Entove reach with 13 kills. Mariah Hewton had 11, and then you throw in that Zoe Bruning finished up with 8. So balanced at the net, and it looks like everybody swung pretty well.
Well, we did, and we got our swings in. They were doing a good job pretty much all night long picking up a lot of the balls that we were hitting. So they did a great job defensively. But the key point you pointed out there, the fact that we got some balanced hitting with whether or not it was Addie hitting in the middle on the right back, or it was, you know, Mariah and Colby hitting on the left, and then you add Zoe who hits mainly in the middle. But, you know, when you can balance that out in all three, you know, levels or all three spots in your hitting attack and then add in back row, you give a lot of teams something to think about, and I think that's what we're starting to do a better job. And Elsa, the leader out there, has really done a nice job of mixing it up, which we've really started to ask the hitters to can't run the same route each time. So we're challenging the hitters a little bit more, which has allowed them to get a little more positive swings and kills on attempts.
Coach, you mentioned a couple of tight sets to start at 27-25 and 26-24. What was the difference to give you those two sets and put you up 2-0?
Well, the difference was is that we survived some long rallies during those first two sets. And like I said, they were doing a nice job of defensively picking up our attacks. But we were able to outlast them on some really key points. And you know, the first two games, they really just were back and forth. Nobody took a lead more than two, and we were just fortunate enough that they had an opportunity to get set one. But I believe with the we got into a good rotation where I had three hitters going at their blockers, which allowed us a little more freedom to make attacks. So we were able to take advantage of at key points towards the end of the match that we had three hitters versus two hitters. And same way with set two, with just the way the rotation worked out, tight throughout, but we just, after 20, 21 points, we were able to get three hitters in front and cause them some problems. And then, you know, that was, I think, the difference in the match as far as first two sets.
And coach, anytime that the front row can be, you know, that spread out as far as balanced on hitting means the back row is probably doing good. I can't talk about this young lady enough. I probably don't bring her up often enough, but Kaylee Simons, 34 digs on the night. I say all the time that she's one of the elite liberos around the state of Iowa, but 34 digs. She had a busy night and sounded like she played an outstanding match.
Well, she did, and we kept what was nice is that our blockers kept funneling a lot of the attacks towards her. You know, when you have, you feel like, as you stated, you know, one of the better passers in the area and also the state of Iowa, you really want to make her an integral part defensively. And, you know, we always talk about if we can get touches, that helps everybody in the back. But if we're going to be late on a block, let's be late and force them to hit, you know, in a direction towards Kaylee. And I think, you know, during each set, that's really what we focused on, was making them go after Kaylee, and Kaylee responded. But then you throw in Mia Milligan, who is really kind of setting a tone for herself in the middle back, and she had 18 assists, or 18 digs, and I think that was a season high for her, or a match high. But yes, our goal is to funnel everything towards Kaylee as much as possible.
Coach, you move on now to next week. You got to Lewis Central coming up. You got a few days. You played Tuesday this week, not till Thursday next week. So what's the focus been in practice to get ready for Lewis Central?
Getting healthy, resting some arms, especially the jumping part of the legs. We've been trying to focus on, you know, the day after, relaxing them a little bit, then building it up, and then relaxing again. And we'll go next week, or Monday and Tuesday, will be, in my mind, will be hopefully a little more intensity. You know, 75% of the practice will be 6-on-6 and challenging each other and just getting each other ready, because I feel like as deep as we are, we can really challenge each other on both sides of the net. So, and the other part that's been great news that we got today is that looks like that Brianna will be back to play with us next week. So she's been cleared to begin practice on Monday, and with stipulations that we don't quite know yet, but that's a positive sign that you'll get another hitter back, and you know, just some really deep experience for that, you know, that middle front or middle hitter. But then that allows to put Addie and Olivia strictly as right side hitters instead of mixing them into the middle and the right, and it really, I believe, caused a lot more problems for teams moving forward. So we're very fortunate that Bree gets to come back, but we're also, too, we've been very fortunate that the kids that are being able to step in and take her spot have provided a lot of quality minutes and quality play for us as she's been out. So rest and just hard competition against each other, hopefully treating it like a match since it is a long time between matches.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, that's probably some of the best news I've heard all week long. So congrats to Bree. Congrats to you guys on the win. Enjoy the weekend off. And tell you what, looking forward to talking to you about that LC match next week.
I am as well. The Friday to Friday is an awful long week when I don't get to talk to good people like you, Mr. Blankton and Mason. So we wish you guys the best. And, again, thank you for expanding Kemper's ability to reach out to all the public with their names and their athletic ability.
Head coach again, Rusty Wintermote with the Kemper Volleyball Joint Team, joining us here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. We're back with more next year on KCIM.
It's National 4-H Week. This year's theme is Beyond Ready, celebrating how 4-H prepares youth for college, careers, and life. Carroll County Farm Bureau is proud to support 4-H and cultivate our most important crop, the next generation. Together, we can build a stronger rural Iowa. Join Carroll County Farm Bureau today.
We're back here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show on this Saturday morning, talking right now a little Carroll Tiger volleyball as head coach Riley Ludwig is joining us. Coach, as always, good to catch up with you. How you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you?
I am doing well. You and the girls on the road over to Jefferson. We'll talk about the Green County tournament coming up here in just a little bit. But we're going to start on Thursday night. You guys hosted at Bondurant Farrar. Wow, what a tight match that night. You ended up getting beat in three, but just 4 points in the first set, then the last two, just 2 points, and including the third set going a little extra with a 26-24 loss. So very competitive match the way it sounds.
Yeah, no, it was fun. I'm not fun to be on the the side of it we were on, but it was fun to see the girls fight back and just play so well.
What did they do well?
A lot of touches on blocks, a lot of blocks. Probably not a lot that shown our stats. Bonnerant did a good job covering, but there was more than once where there was a block and then, you know, they covered it, set again, and then we got another block and then lots of really good touches to help out our defense. But yeah, blocking was just amazing yesterday. And then we applied a lot of the things that we talked about, like between timeouts, between sets. And I mean, even seeing the scores, we just improved as the night went on.
Coach, you mentioned lots of touches and blocks. Who was getting their hands on the ball at the net?
Amanda and Chloe. Chloe had a lot of touches during that game. Amanda, all of them, I think almost every single one of them had, maybe not in the stats, but they had a block that went back over to the other side of the net and made them kind of scramble over there. So,
how did the back row react with the front row getting so many touches? How well did the back row cover?
Oh, it helps out a lot when they when they're getting those touches. Our defense did well. Again, improved quite a bit throughout the three sets. We're just working on starting that strong and not having to wait a couple of sets to get there.
Coach, offensively, did you feel like you guys were able to take advantage of that and swing pretty well and stuff? And if so, who did?
Yeah, Amanda played really smart on Thursday. She swung hard and then tipped. And then she had quite a few kills, I think. And not all of them were hard swings, but when she did swing, the ball was down. I don't think they dug her very, very often. And if they did, it was not a perfect pass. So she was over the block most of the time swinging. I mean, she was able to pretty much hammer that ball down, and that was really fun to see. Macy Simlink had a really awesome line shot right when we needed it. Kyra's swinging well. She's tooling off the block really, really well. Analeah had a couple smart plays. So did Chloe on top of her blocking. She had some in there. And then actually Peyton, setting-wise, she had a couple kills from setted up. So I think we were reading the court, making a lot of smart decisions, a lot less mistakes than what we normally make. So
you mentioned Amanda hit 552 on the night and finished up with 17 kills. With the three sets and especially two of them losing by 2 points, how close were you at the end? How many chances did you have to win those two sets and maybe take that match?
Yeah, no, quite a few. There was, you know, a couple of those times where we really needed serve to be just over and in, and we missed in the net. There was a couple times there were some blocks that we didn't press on, or we didn't get our body turned all the way and they tooled. But we definitely forced them to earn quite a few points there towards the end of the game. Like those last 10 points on Thursday for Bonnerant were earned. We didn't give up a whole lot there with our mistakes offensively or defensively. So, there's those 3 points that we were behind, 2 or 3 points we were behind during all those sets were mistakes on us. But yeah.
Coach, Tuesday, slow starts, but much better finishes the way it sounded on all three sets.
Yeah. Started extremely slow, but the girls did not give up a single time. They fought back. There was a time where I think Ballard was up by maybe 10 points, and we closed that gap before the end of the game, and they did not give up once, not even when Ballard was at 24. We were still scoring points then, so.
And you mentioned Peyton Moore here a little bit ago. Starting to see a little bit more time as setter, and you're starting to like what you see a little bit?
Yeah, her decision making, she's definitely establishing the hitters that we need to establish right away. She's feeding the girls that are on, making smart plays. She's getting her hands to the ball, hustling on defense, hustling on offense, making her passers look good when it's maybe not the best pass in the world. So pretty impressed with what she's doing right now, especially as a sophomore.
Coach, I want to bounce back to last weekend here briefly. I know it was homecoming weekend, and you headed over to the Nevada tournament, kind of turned into a rough day and a rough morning going 0-4 on the day. But what did you guys and the girls take out of that?
Another day of just improving throughout the day. Starting slow, and then by the end of the day, we actually played Bonnerant in our last game, and another two really close sets. They only went to 21, but it was just 3 or 4 points away. But improving throughout the day, we're applying things that we've talked about between games and timeouts, all of those things. And then it's just good to see that we can make those adjustments throughout the day, throughout a game, even if we don't necessarily start that way. So,
with matches Tuesday and Thursday this week, what did you focus on in the little bit of practice time you had to get ready for the Greene County tournament today?
A lot more of earning our points, earning our own points, not hoping for mistakes on the other end, and kind of taking advantage when they do make mistakes. I think we're playing a lot smarter. Tuesday and Thursday, we played a lot smarter than what we did earlier in the season, knowing that we have to give ourselves another chance. And kind of understanding, like, the flow of the game. When we scramble or we have a really awesome play, like, that ball cannot drop on our side. We need that momentum. And our serve receive has been really, really awesome, but we're still focusing on that big time because our offense, when we can run our offense, we're scoring points, and so we need that pass up.
Coach, the Greene County tournament today, what are you looking at there, and what are you hoping to see from the kids with the matches you have today?
Yeah, last tournament, so hoping that we can start right away, kind of a later morning that we get to leave. So they should be really rested. We shouldn't really need a set to wake up or anything like that. But starting right away, we want to win the games that we should win and not drop some of those that you know, we're disappointed with after because of how we played or not having energy or things that we can choose to make some changes on. So.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate all of the time. Best of luck coming up today, and maybe I'll see you over there for just a little bit this morning.
Awesome. Thank you.
You bet. Head Coach Riley Ludwig again with the Carroll Volleyball Team. We're back with more of the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM.
It's a 3-day meat sale at your Carroll Hy-Vee. Brats, 8 for $10. Bone-in pork shoulder roast, $3.98 a pound. Pork ribs as low as $2.99 a pound. And 80-20 ground beef for only $3.98 for the 16-ounce roll. The Mega Meat Sale this Friday through Sunday at your Carroll Hy-Vee.
Pizza Ranch Coaches Show rolling on this Saturday morning as we talk at Carroll Girls Swimming with Head Coach Deb Danner. As Coach, as always, good to catch up with you. How you been doing?
Yeah, I've been doing great. Everything's just been good, going really well this week.
Yeah, it's been a good week. Things get a little crazy starting next week as far as schedule-wise with all of the meets you're going to have from here pretty much till the end of the regular season, which is quickly approaching as we're already in October. But it's been a good run so far. Let's start last Saturday over at Des Moines Lincoln. You knew that with only 8 girls you were going to have to, you know, probably finish really well in some of those events to get up. I think you were hoping to get up maybe as high as third place. You didn't know a ton, you said, if I remember right, about Cedar Rapids, Washington. They ended up in third, but how did you feel like things went on Saturday?
Yeah, the girls swam really well Saturday. So with 8 girls, it's just really tough. You know, you get 3 entries, but I only get 2 because of our numbers. So, you know, we're missing out on a spot for scoring points, but...
Yep.
You know, we make the best of it, and we try and finish as high as we can, and, you know, we had some very good races in there, and, you know, the girls, they did a fantastic job.
You had 4 individual events finish in the top 3. 2 of your relays finished up in second place. I know I had asked you early in the season that I had a feeling you were pretty excited about the depth for your relays, and it showed again on Saturday with the 200 medley relay team finishing up in second place, and also taking second place was the 200 at freestyle relay.
Right, yeah, you know, we got some pretty good swimmers for those relays, so we're going to try and ramp up that 4-3 relay and kind of see what it can do and see if that's going to be an option for us to try and take that to regionals and try and qualify it. But, yeah, you know, I got me some sprinters, so that's always a good thing. So we'll just keep running with that, too.
And, Coach, Ava Highnote that night, I think if I remember right, she tried out some new events and seemed like she did pretty well.
Yeah, so she swam the 2 free, did very well, went 2:16, I believe. Yeah, that was a very good swim for her. She swam the 100 breaststroke, which we haven't had her in yet, and Yeah, you know, she went a 122, so that was really nice to see too. So, you know, first time swimming it, hopefully we can drop that time down a bit.
What else stood out for you from last Saturday?
Yeah, you know, just all around, the girls are really starting to come together as a team more and supporting each other. And, you know, they have each other's backs very well at meets now. So, you know, that's a big part of it is knowing that you have teammates that are cheering you on and they're there for you. So, you know, that was just very, very nice to see as a team. But, you know, their swims, they're doing fantastic with their swims. Saturday, everybody's times were just a little bit off along with us, but we were all very comparable from where we've been. So, you know, I wasn't concerned that the girls weren't prepared for it. They did a fantastic job.
And I was going to say, when you're bringing in girls from all over the place, it probably, as quickly as they get to know each other, it takes a little bit of time to get to know each other.
It does. Some of those girls swim together for our club team, but some don't. So, you know, they're trying to get to know each other. But, yeah, you know, we give them a little bit of time at practice every day, just during stretches. They get a chance to talk and get to know each other better. So, yeah, they're coming together pretty well.
Seven swimmers down at Atlantic the other day. You ended up falling to Spencer, which you kind of anticipated. They're pretty deep and loaded this year, but you got by Atlantic and won that one fairly comfortable. So good feelings coming out of Tuesday?
Oh, for sure, yeah. We had some really good swims there. Briley finally went under the 120 mark in her 100 breaststroke, so that was really, really fun to watch that. Ava Highnote swam the 500, did a 621. I think she was a little scared to swim that, but, you know, like I said, we got teammates there to back us up, and they were there cheering her on, and she did fantastic. You know, Mady swam the 500 again and managed to drop another 10 seconds off of her time. So, you know, she did great, and I know she's a little anxious about swimming it ever again, and we'll see. We got plenty season left to figure that out. But, yeah, you know, we had some really good swims, and it was really exciting to watch these girls, you know, because we swam some off events, and you know, they took a hold of those events, and they did a great job.
Coach, Sophia Malone was in the 100 fly for you and also the 50 free. She finished fourth in both of those. Is there a stroke that's kind of like her signature stroke, or is she somebody that can do all of them really well?
Yeah, I think she's more of a breaststroker than anything. But, yeah, she can do all the strokes very well. So, you know, I do throw her in the IM too sometimes. But, yeah, I know I can and put her in just about any event I want, and she's gonna carry her own very well in that event. So yeah, she did a fantastic job, and you know, I give her a lot of credit. You know, her 50 free wasn't quite what she was hoping for. Kind of had a little slip on the starting block, so that kind of in a 50 that's everything. There's no room for error in
yep.
a 50, so she wasn't real happy with that, but it still was a pretty decent time.
Coach, you guys go to Boone on Tuesday. You see Boone again. Actually, no, you don't. Not this week. You'll see Fort Nodge and Spencer coming to your place on Thursday. And then Saturday, you head to Johnston. I wouldn't be surprised if Boone's not there. But the craziness with the busy schedule begins this week.
Yeah, it's going to get real busy. Not a lot of recovery time. So, you know, We'll do the best we can to recover in between those meets, but you know it's pretty tough when you have a meet every other day. But the girls they'll get through it. We'll manage, and yeah. So that Saturday meet at Johnston is going to be a big one. Boone will not be there.
Okay.
But but there are 11 teams at that meet, so that will be a very big meet for us.
Yeah, I just saw that looked like a full slate of teams that were going to there. I just assumed Boone would be one of them. But, Coach, you mentioned, you know, trying to kind of balance things. How do you go about that?
Yeah, you know, I read the girls. I can see what's happening, how fatigued they're getting. I know what kind of recovery to give them. You know, I know if I can push just a little bit harder that they have a little more to give yet. So it's just a matter of getting to know your team and how they perform.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate all the time you give us all the time. Enjoy a weekend off, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
Great. Thank you.
You bet. Head Coach Deb Danner again with the Carroll Girls Swim Team, back with more of the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM.
Hey, moms and dads out there, let Pizza Ranch make feeding your family fun and affordable. Every Tuesday night, kids 12 and under eat free. Whether they love the pizza, chicken, or mac and cheese, you'll make them all happy. When you're on the go with sports, church, or, well, just life, come in for a quick and delicious buffet. The best part is, they'll do the dishes. Pizza Ranch makes family meals fun and fast. For delivery or carryout, call 792-3456. Pizza Ranch, just off Highway 30 in Carroll.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome back here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches here on the CB Sports Network. Let's talk some Kemper Cross Country. Joining us right now is head coach Thomas Nelson. Coach, it's always good to catch up with you.
Always great to talk to you, and thanks for your coverage.
You bet, Coach. You guys have had a nice week, especially on the boys' side of things. You went over to Dennis and Schleswig Tuesday. Both the girls and boys did, but the boys finish up in second place behind a very good Storm Lake team, but you outdistance everybody else and some pretty solid teams in there. You had two guys finish in the top 12, so I'm getting the sense boys-wise really pleased with Tuesday.
Very, very pleased, and it starts with our middle school and goes all the way through our JV and our varsity boys. Our middle school boys were actually missing one of our top five, and we still won the meet, so it's the third meet they've won this year, which was super good. And then we just, you know, our times, the course definitely was pretty tough and it was pretty hilly, but we thought our kids competed really, really well. Most of our kids were finishing kind of a little ahead of where we expected them to, so that was really good. We were really happy with the team's overall finish with second. And like you said, it is super nice. We've gone a couple meets in a row where we haven't had our top five, Dayton, Fletch, Thomas, Wyatt, and Oliver. And all of them were running. And I thought they did a really good job getting out. And it led to, you know, really positive finish with Dayton in eighth and Fletch in 12th. And the rest of the guys really took care of business, too.
Time sounds like you're really pleased with the times right now.
Yeah, I thought, you know, considering the course and the hills and everything, I think we're right where we need to be. There were some pretty competitive teams at that meet, and our kids really did a good job getting to the spots that they need to be. You know, this morning, on Friday morning, we were doing a track workout, and I gave the guys some pretty aggressive times that, you know, we're hoping, again, to run times that they're going to run races 2 weeks down the road or even at districts 3 weeks down the road. And I thought they all showed up with a really good attitude and mentality. And just did a really good job in that workout. So I think we're trending in the right direction.
Do all your guys handle hilly courses pretty well?
I think they're a bit more challenging for us. I think the guys did a really good job staying tough throughout it. We haven't seen a lot of hills yet. Denison's usually kind of our first one that gets us really rolling. The varsity boys at Harlan, there's a few rolling ones there. But then we'll get at it again next week at Atlantic. That's also kind of a rolling hills course. I think running Denison's going to have us do even better at Atlantic just because now we've just done a hilly course and going into another one. So I think it'll help our results in the Atlantic meet.
You mentioned Harlan. That was last Saturday. Pretty pleased with how the guys did down there last weekend.
Yeah, I was super excited with the results we got from that meet. That's just got a lot of teams there. You know, Red Oak and Lewis Central we talked about are in our conference and teams we're trying to compete with, and it helped our guys kind of figure out where we are in relation to them. In our times, I thought we're really good there. Dayton was in the 16s, Fletch was mid-17s, Tom and Wyatt were both in the 18s. Oliver couldn't make that one, but, you know, moving forward, like I said, I think we're going to see some really good times at Atlantic, and we've seen that in the past, too.
And you're really happy with how the schedule's breaking down. You're down to running once a week, which kind of gets you ready for districts coming up. Hard to believe here in just 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast the season's gone. We were able to, since we ran at Denison and not again until next Thursday at Atlantic, we were able to kind of give the kids just a really good stretch and a day off on Wednesday, and I think they appreciated that. And now we're pretty much to running Thursday, Wednesday, and hopefully another week after that Wednesday with some guys going to state. But, you know, it lets us really get into a good routine over this last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And I think that routine will help us in the long run.
What's the type of workouts you'll do to get everybody ready for, you know, conference and then, you know, the state qualifying meets the week after that?
So I've got to do a little research. We haven't been down to Shenandoah for a while. I need to find out a little about that course and kind of figure out if it's going to be flat and fast or if it's more of rolling hills, and that'll impact a little of what we do, whether we end up doing the workouts on the track or going out and finding a couple hills to get in practice too. But really at this point, we're just trying to make sure everyone can feel as fresh as possible. Our kids have put in the work over the summer, over the first three quarters of the season, that now it's about really honing in on feeling what our race pace for the last couple races is going to be like and knowing what that feels like grooving at kind of mid race. And we're just trying to make sure that the kids' legs are going to feel fresh and that they just, like I said, kind of know how that pace feels for them. And if we do that, I'm pretty confident we're going to have good results over the last couple meets.
Coach, let's bounce over to the girls. They ran just the once this last week. That was at Denison on Tuesday. Grace Schoonover led you, followed by Casey Wiederin and then Shelby Graving. So how did you feel like things went for the girls at Denison last week?
Just like the boys, I was really happy with just the entire team effort. Our girls' middle school team actually got second. They've done that a couple times this year. They're easily the best girls' middle school team we've had over the last couple years. Taylor Heidhoff won another meet, so that was super cool. And then it translated all the way up to our varsity and JV girls. So we're with Grace kind of leading us. We were hoping to get some girls or one or two in the 30s, but we got three there with Grace, Casey, and Shelby going 32, 34, 35. Unfortunately, Anna was sick and couldn't run that day. Otherwise, I'm confident she would have been right there too. Meredith Pedick continues to just get better and better each meet. She finished fourth for us. She was 40th. Followed by Logan at 44. And I just thought the girls did a really good job. The last couple meets, they've been really getting out together and pushing each other earlier on in the races, which has led to a lot better times as the season goes on.
Do you feel like the girls are where they need to be as we talked with districts coming up and state qualifying and conference meet?
Yeah, I think our girls are in a super good spot. I'm really excited to see what they put down for times over the next couple meets. Atlantic for us in the past, we've seen a lot of kids really take advantage of the hills and get some PRs there. And I think the girls varsity team especially has the potential to get some really good races in there just because of the way they've been trending in practice on the last few meets. And then we've also got some JV girls, Adeline Pide, Kaylee Owen, Ella Hightoff, who've been doing really good in practice. And I think are really excited to finish the season strong. And try to set some PRs there, too. So I'm excited to see what they'll do as well.
What do you think of Anishina Hills for the girls and boys Thursday down in Atlantic?
Well, first off, we're hoping it cools down a little. and traditionally, it seems like the last couple of years we've been there, by the last race especially, it starts to get cool. Now, this October has been a little different than previous Octobers. But I know our kids are familiar with the course. And we've seen enough good times on it where they're going to feel relatively confident going in and knowing that we can perform well. And even our middle school kids who have jumped up have always ran that meet. So I'm pretty confident that they're going to show up well and we're going to see some PRs and get a really good finish.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate all the time here today. Best of luck coming up on Thursday and looking forward to catching up with you again next week.
Thank you for your coverage. Go Knights, go Tigers. Have a great weekend.
Head coach again at Thomas Nelson with the Kemper Cross Country Teams. Back with more here on the Pete's Ranch Coaches Show.
This is KCIM Carroll, also broadcasting on translator K236CB at 95.1 FM. We are KCIM Carroll Broadcasting.
Let's take a look at that local sports schedule as we wrap up the Pete's Ranch Coaches Show for this Saturday morning. In cross country, again, the ESAC girls and boys and South Central Calhoun boys and girls are at Pocahontas area this morning. In volleyball, Carroll goes to the Green County Tournament, Glenn-Ralston at the Riverside Tournament, and IK Manning at the Tri-Center Tournament. Thanks again to all of our coaches here today. Again, Craig Rowetter, also at Ryan Steinkamp, Dina Fitter, and Rusty Wintermote, Riley Ludwig, Deb Danner, and Thomas Nelson for joining us. Again, our player of the game game banners from last night are up at the Carroll Broadcasting Sports Network website, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. The audio from the radio broadcast last night, all available on the Listen to Past Games on the website. The video broadcast on the Carroll Broadcasting Sports Network YouTube page from last night's Kemper Spirit late game. And Mason Nealon and I will sit down and type up a recaps of all of last night's football, all of today's cross country, and volleyball as the weekend goes on. So check those out on the Brinks Exterior Sports Report at sports.1380kcim.com as the weekend goes on. That's going to wrap up the Pete's Ranch Coaches Show for this Saturday. Have a great weekend, everybody.